This recording is a production of Faith Builders Resource Group. This recording was made at Reach 2019, held on March 22 and 23, 2019, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Welcome. Thank you for coming. Today I'm going to be talking to you about helping the undisciplined, and I was trying to understand if I was going to talk about people that will be helping the undisciplined, or if I'm going to be talking about the undisciplined. And so I finally concluded that I'm primarily talking to people that are helping the undisciplined, because that's what I do. But the amazing thing was that when I started out, I realized how undisciplined I am. I was so surprised. Because I began paying attention how I do things, what I do, and I thought I could just tackle a task and I could just get it done. But when I began developing this workshop, I discovered that it's not that way. I have helped a lot of people, but what I didn't know was how I helped them. Like, it's just something that grew, and it's something that I do. But if somebody would have said, "Are you doing this?" I would have said, "No, I do this." So if they would have said, "Do you do this?" And I would have had to say, "Well, I don't even know what I do." And so it was really good for me to have to develop this topic, because it has really helped me, I hope, to think about how I help those that are undisciplined. And what that has done is also helping me become more disciplined. So the three books that were really helpful that I just want to tell you right from the get-go was Ann Ortlund. It's a very old book. She wrote Disciplines of the Beautiful Woman. I got, if you are big into day planners, this book is for you. And then I found this, and this was just published in 2019. It came out in February. And I was so distressed, because when I went on Amazon to look for a book, I couldn't even find anything about the discipline. Well, I could find a lot, but all of them were about promoting self rather than doing it for the sake of God, for developing for kingdom purposes. So this is the best book I've found. It's Your Future Self Will Thank You by Drew Dick. And then this book is The Science of Self-Discipline, and he goes into and he talks about the brain, and he talks about willpower and how the willpower and all that is depleted and why that helps people be disciplined or undisciplined. So this is more on the scientific studies of being disciplined. So today, the way I chose to start out my topic was I thought we would look at scripture and then look at the purposes, and then I'll talk about the tools that I use to help be disciplined and help the undisciplined. So the first scripture verse is, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it." That really spoke to me as Genesis 1:28. So God asks us to be fruitful, and the way we become fruitful is by being disciplined. And one thing I do know is it's really difficult, actually, to develop a discipline. Very difficult. But we're all created in the image of God. And so it is possible for all of us to develop. But the truth is, it's easier for some people than for others. And so I believe that being disciplined is the foundation for living a righteous lifestyle that reflects Jesus and brings glory to God. And so if you really want to be fruitful, and you want to fill the earth with God's glory, we work at being disciplined. And I'll talk more about ways to be disciplined. The next scripture I chose is, every athlete exercises self-control in all things. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable one. So Paul wrote this scripture in Corinth, and the people were very familiar with it because there was a big stadium there. And so they had all these people practicing and trying to win a crown for that soon fades away. And so they were, like, circling the stadium, and they had their arms down, their heads, you know, bowed, and they were just going for it. And it wasn't because they were trying to get fresh air. It was because they were working hard to win a race. And so what we as Christians want to do is we want to win an earthly crown. So I believe that it takes sacrifice or effort in developing godly habits, and it's costly because it calls something out of us, something that is not just natural, a part of us. It's something that we actually have to cultivate and do. And we are doing that because we're preparing to win an eternal crown. The next scripture that I chose is, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. So I believe that as Christians, we are called to sacrifice and live a disciplined lifestyle. We do it because we're working for something other than ourselves. So exercising self-discipline brings focus to doing the necessary thing instead of being distracted by doing the easier things. And I believe that people can feel good about their choices if they're intentionally practicing the disciplines. But you know, what I discovered, even in developing this topic, is that it was costly. It took time. It took effort. I had to keep going. And so if we want to become disciplined, we have to realize two things. It comes with a price tag, and it takes effort, and it takes work. The next scripture I chose was, the soul of a sluggard craves and gets nothing, while the soul of the diligent is richly supplied. And I felt a little whatever about putting that up, but I think a sluggard just does what he pleases, and so we don't want to be people like that. And the Bible tells us in Genesis 3, like he told Adam and Eve, that you will... that your labor will be filled with sweat and pain. So when we think about developing specific discipline, like Bible reading, or maybe taking off weight, or maybe, there's all kinds of things that you can do to become more disciplined. And some of them are more godly than others, but actually all disciplines actually help us to build on something other than what we please to do. So I think a disciplined person will endure hardships for a greater cause than immediate gratification. So the next time I wanted to put a piece of maybe chips, because chips is just a real weakness of mine. So rather than put it in, I was like, no, I am not doing that. And I realized it was really hard. And I've been doing that for 6 months. And so I know the sacrifice it takes. So we sacrifice because the discipline justifies the end result. A man without self-control is like a city broken into, left without walls. So I found this really interesting. I think it was in one of the books that I was reading. It said that God asked Adam and Eve to develop one habit which protected them from sin. And they were told not to eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, for if they ate, they would surely die. So God gave Adam and Eve the first opportunity to develop a habit, and guess what? They failed. And we have to recognize that we're people, that we will fail. So I just want to make sure that we keep that in mind. So people must keep working to develop habits, because that really does protect us from making sinful choices. I know there's lots of scripture, like when I went on Google and I searched self-discipline, I mean, there was just tons of scripture. I don't know why I chose these, but this is just what I chose. Okay, so next we're going to talk about purpose. Oh, I want to tell you one thing before I move on, though, is one thing that was really clear to me as I looked at even more than just these scriptures. Scripture clearly tells us that leading a disciplined lifestyle can help people make right choices, and it will help them become resilient, disciplined individuals. So it's like resilience, like we're able to withstand, we're able to keep going. All right, so one of the, I have three purposes for building disciplines, and one of them is it cultivates purposeful lifestyle. And so one thing that we want to remember as we go through here is that the disciplines are not about building ourselves up. All of them, pretty much, unless they're sinful discipline, will help us to build for the God's kingdom, because one of the things that we don't want to get caught up in, we don't want to live for the American dream or for an easy lifestyle. So I believe the ultimate purpose in being disciplined is to love God, to love others, and to live a fruitful life that will glorify and honor God. And one of the things that we do know is that Paul, the Apostle Paul, cultivated a purposeful lifestyle that was actually really costly for him. It was very costly. But he glorified God by advancing God's kingdom. So because he was so disciplined, he evangelized a large part of the Roman Empire. He wrote a third of the New Testament, and he nurtured church plants. But one of the things that happened through all that was that he endured shipwrecks, lashings, stonings, hunger, sleeplessness, and many dangers. So he cultivated a purposeful lifestyle, but it was actually very costly. All right. The second purpose is that it builds healthy habits. So one way that you want to think about it is, you are always building habits. You're either building healthy habits or you're building unhealthy habits. It's one or the other. So think about whatever you do, it's healthy or unhealthy. And today we're going to talk more about building healthy habits. So this is what I want to talk about. So one thing that I always knew but I never considered was that studies show, which both of these books really talked about that, is that it takes at least 2 to 3 weeks to create new habits. And I want to talk a little bit about that as I go along, which I think will be helpful then. Okay, one thing that I have discovered with pretty much all the people that I help is everybody is excited about developing a new habit. Like they'll say, I'm going to do. And if I go back and I ask them the next week, what did you accomplish? Well, all this stuff came up. And so I ended not doing it. And I was like, oh. So it's really easy to set goals, but we struggle to accomplish them. And so one of the things that I learned through the books is that so whenever we develop a new habit, the brain has to work overtime. And the willpower has to also work over time because it's not natural. And so once a habit is natural, it gets stored in the back of your head and it just becomes like routine. But all new habits are like in here and they're wiring new ways to build this habit, and so the brain is really working, and so it makes it really hard for people to actually stick with their habits. So one of the books talked about, he said that one thing that we can do is we build bright lines. Okay, so bright lines are hard and fast rules that help people from procrastinating when building new habits. So I want to tell you what a bright line is. This was a new thought for me, and I think it's going to be really helpful in helping people in the future. I hope it will anyway. So a bright line would be, say, somebody comes to me and says, I want to live more healthy, so I'm not going to eat any bread after 8 o'clock. So the next week when I go back and I say, did you accomplish your habit? And you know what? It's either, yes, I did, no, I didn't. Because what happens if it's not a real bright line, it's really, they'll be wondering if they actually got it. And so it's either you ate bread after 8 o'clock or you didn't eat bread after 8 o'clock. That's a bright line. One of my mentoring group girls, she said her goal for this semester is, I guess she's not in here, I don't see her, so if she would, I'd try. I know she's fine if I say this. She said, I'm not going to eat any bread for the whole semester. And we didn't question it because we do want them to, you know, set their goals high. So 2 weeks later, she comes back and she said, we have pizza every Saturday night. Is that considered bread? And what do I do if we basically have sandwiches for lunch? And do I just throw the bread away, or would that be considered bread? So we had a little hash about it. And so we said, no, that's not bread. So she said, bread is only if she eats it on the side or she actually makes a sandwich. But see, she was really struggling because it wasn't a bright enough line. And one thing that I've discovered through this is that bright lines conserve energy because people are not deciding whether they made or broke their rules. So hard and fast lines can help people avoid developing unwanted behavior because it's really specific. I either do it or I don't do it. And you know, if it's like for her, it was really important that she not eat bread. And so for her, she's actually developing healthy habits. Okay, the next thing that I want to talk about is grows willpower. And this was something really new for me. And so one of the things that, let's see where I'm at here. Oh, so researchers, they have, the way they study willpower is they have two ways of defining it. One is they call state and the other they call trait. So state refers to a person's level of willpower that fluctuates from moment to moment. So let me explain. So let's say my friend Joanna says, I'm going to start eating healthier habits. And so she fixes a salad in the morning because her willpower is really strong in the morning. And so she knows if she fixes it in the morning, she'll likely eat it for lunch. Well, what she maybe not reckon with is that between lunch and break, she's going to have a sick screaming toddler who would not settle down until 1:30 in the afternoon. So when the toddler finally settles down, she goes to the refrigerator, and she has every intention of getting that salad out. But right beside that salad, there's a pizza. And so she grabs the pizza because her willpower was depleted. And so studies show that conflict, stress, and lack of sleep depletes a person's state, which state would be willpower. So think about that. When you are stressed, you don't have enough sleep, and there's conflict, like interpersonal conflict, you're not going to have as much willpower to say no or even to practice a discipline that you want. And that's called state. Okay, the trait refers to a person's natural willpower. Okay, so some people, they are just naturally strong. And other people, they can become strong if they lift weights. Then they can become strong. And that's true for willpower too. So trait willpower, like the muscles vary from person to person, but one thing that you have to remember is everyone can grow these muscles. So one of the things that I learned is that state willpower has helped me understand that stress, conflict, and lack of sleep can help a person to miss their goals. And so those are some questions that I'm going to ask someone when they just cannot get their goals. I'm going to say, are you sleeping? Are you stressed? And just see if we can help work that through with them in that way. Or the trait has helped me understand why some people are intrinsically goal-oriented while others need to be motivated, inspired, and equipped to grow their willpower muscles. Does that make sense? Okay, so I know that probably most of you have wanted to come in because you want tools. So that's going to be the remainder of our talk here. Okay, so when I help somebody, so I guess if you are in here because you want to be disciplined, then you can just ask yourself questions, or you get an accountability person and you ask them to help you, like ask questions. So one thing that I've discovered is that undisciplined people often feel ashamed of their inability to accomplish their goal, and it's really hard for them to actually tell me what they do and don't do because they're really ashamed of what they're not able to do. So we want to understand that about people. I've also learned that undisciplined people want to be disciplined because that's why they come to me. They want to be disciplined, but they struggle to accomplish them on their own. So I generally begin by asking what disciplines they have in place and what has worked and not worked. Like something has worked, but something has not worked. So you want to help people think about that. And then the other thing that you want to understand is you have to have an understanding of your daily rhythms and routines. That's really key in helping you understand ways that you're disciplined. So this is, by the way, these examples that I'm giving are not actually real persons. I just put a bunch of things together and ways that I work with people. So we're going to say that a lady tells me she's ashamed because she struggles being disciplined in her devotional habit. She says, before I go to bed, I decide to get up at 6, so I have time for my devotion. I intend to get up when my alarm goes off, but you know what? I love to read books. So every night, I can't put that book down, so I read till 11, 12 o'clock. So the next morning, her alarm goes off at 6, so I feel really, really tired. So I hit the snooze button, And before she knows it, it's 6:30. And then she feels really discouraged. So the next thing she does is she decides, well, before I do my devotion, I'm just going to quickly look at Facebook because, well, I already feel guilty, so why not just look at Facebook? And then before I know it, it's time to get ready for the day. And at this point, I purpose to read my Bible later that day. But it does not happen because her schedule is full. So she says to me, I feel ashamed, guilty, discouraged that I cannot daily read my Bible when the alarm goes off. So then I ask, how do you prioritize what you do during the day? Then she, often people will say, I don't prioritize, I just do the next thing. And I just do whatever is done. And she said, by the end of the day, I feel so distracted and discouraged that I can't do what I want to do. I hardly ever read my Bible, and I feel ashamed. So then I'll say, I hear you saying you want my help. And then she'll often say yes. And so then that gives me permission to do that. So let's see here. So asking questions is crucial in understanding the person and their struggle. Okay, so the next tool that I use usually is I help prioritize. So what I've discovered is that most people have time to accomplish their goal if they prioritize and learn to say no to distractions that are time wasters. I think we all know what time wasters are. I know what they are. Like sometimes I have full plans to do something, then I go on the internet and I look at Facebook and a whole hour has gone past, and then something I've wanted to get done, I don't get done. So we have to learn to prioritize and we must say no. And one thing that I've learned is that it really helped to give people a vision of what they want to become. Like there has to be a greater purpose in working the disciplines than just for the sake of being disciplined. Like what do you want to become? Like what are you hoping to get out of life? And then I help them think about the urgent, the necessary, and then the want-tos. You know, we all have want-to things that we want to do. And Ann Ortland, she said, we have 24 hours every day to do what we want, and we are the sum total of how we use those hours. So think about that. We are all given 24 hours, and what we choose to do is ours. So people become disciplined by intentionally choosing how they live their life. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to push my, or was I on there? No. Okay. So anyway, so this is the slide for that. And if you want it, I'll give it to you later. Teach accountability. So accountability is about building relationships that are characterized by love, acceptance, encouragement, trust, and long-suffering. Remember, people are often ashamed if they're not disciplined, so it's really important to build that relationship with them. One time, I helped a young man with his homework, and every week he failed to accomplish his homework goals, every week. And this was really shameful for him. And he said, well, I want to, I just don't get it done. And then I began focusing on what he failed to do rather than what he actually accomplished. And what I've learned from this young man was, bless his heart, he was very gracious to me. Like, it's hard. Like, sometimes it's really hard because you want it. Like, you're helping people all the time. And then I began to realize that I want him to accomplish his goals more than he did, because if they can accomplish their goals, it makes me look good. I can be this person that helps them. That's not what this is about. It's helping people do more than they think they are doing. So he told me, like, he was a really smart young man, and he finally told me, I know if I would not come in every week and tell you how much work I would get done, I would not get done as much as I would if I wouldn't do what I'm doing. So he's a really smart young man. I'm also in with a group of ladies that we hold each other accountable for losing or maintaining our weight. And we just don't accomplish our goals. And so we get together and we say, I missed. And then we say, well, next week, we keep trying. And so one thing is that I've learned is that accountability is not about perfection, but about helping people accomplish more than they would if they were not accountable to someone. Does that make sense? So if you help someone, or even if you're accountable to someone because you're not disciplined, accountability is key in developing disciplines. So if we are accountable to someone, we will accomplish more than we would if we were not. All right, the next tool is begin small. Everybody, the first time around, they will have lofty goals. And Dick in this book, he says, begin small when establishing a new habit, because if people try to do too much on day one, they will drain their willpower and fail to repeat the behavior the next time. Does that make sense? So if we try to do too many in one day, we will drain our willpower, and then we won't do it the next day. So even if we fail, I do know without repetition, new habits will not grow. So recently, I had this routine that I'm going to start showering in the evening rather than in the morning. And so for the first couple nights, I forgot about it. And I was like, no, I'm just going to do it. And so, but, you know, after a couple weeks, it becomes routine. And so it really does take a lot of just repeating, a lot of doing. And so we have to keep at it, or the discipline will not grow. One thing that I've learned through this is that studies show that it takes approximately 21 days to build a habit. And then there was a large study done that they found out that, and it took an average, it took an average number of days, like it took at least sometimes a month for participants to establish a routine. So really it took about 66 days for something to really become routine. Does that make sense? So it's 21 days to build a habit and 66 days before you actually are in the rhythm and actually building a routine. So we have to remember that that we must begin small, and that willpower is limited, and it becomes depleted when the brain invests too heavily in developing too many new habits at one time. The next tool that I want to talk about is make it measurable. So So developing habits is easier if people make them measurable and fit them into their schedule. If you cannot fit it into your schedule, you won't do it, guarantee. So you make it measurable, so it'd be like a bright line, and you fit it into your schedule. So when individuals begin new habits, they feel very motivated, but often their goals tend to be lofty and undefined. So they have to be measurable, because if it's not, it's a sure failure, recipe for failure. Benjamin Franklin, he was a person that he started good habits at the beginning of his life. He was very successful. He built many things. He engineered many things. And so one day this man, he was, after being really successful, he felt really bad how he was failing morally. So he thought, if I can do all these things, then I can achieve moral perfection. And so he identified 13 different habits that he wanted to begin, and he began them all one day. And so he had this paper, and he would put a dot if he accomplished his goals. And he just had a dot every day, and finally wore the paper through, and he was like, this is not working. I don't understand. But see, when he was engineering or developing things, he built one thing at a time. He didn't try to achieve all this thing in one day. So he did not make it measurable. He didn't define, he just said moral fail, moral pure, he wanted to pure, I'm sorry, achieve moral perfection, but he didn't say how he was going to go about doing it. So let's say somebody comes to you, or you decide that they want to read their Bible more. Don't let them get away with that. Like, don't kid yourself. What do you mean reading your Bible more? Like, so we shouldn't just simply aim reading our Bible. We should make it measurable by purposing to read one chapter a day in the morning, beginning in Matthew. I just chose something. And then you work your way through. And so it's very measurable, because you know every morning you have a time where you're going to do it, and you know that it's one chapter. And that doesn't mean that you're going to do it every day, but you're going to work at it. And one thing that that I've learned is that people really do succeed if they make it measurable and if they start small. The next tool that I found really helpful is to connect weekly or biweekly. So whether you're helping someone, you want to connect weekly, or if you are wanting to become more disciplined, then I suggest that you meet weekly with an accountability group. Like, you can do that email, or it doesn't have to be face-to-face. So when I first began mentoring, I didn't recognize the importance of connecting. And so for several years, I watched students and volunteers, they failed to accomplish their goals. So like at the beginning of each semester, they had these nice goals, but I never checked in on them until 3 weeks later. And then I asked them, did you accomplish your goal? I forgot it. I forgot that I had these goals. And they said, there's all these assignments that you gave us, like the instructors, so I didn't have time to do it. And so it's really important that if you're developing habits, or if you are developing or working with someone, that that you meet weekly. Now, the other thing that I want to help you be considerate about is that people will tend to miss more initially. Like the first semester, when new students come in, they just miss. because everything is new. Everything is like, you know, like when I was decided to take a shower in the evening, it was new. I forgot to do it. So it's that kind of thing. There was other things that came up. And so, but as you work with people, as you develop goals, and you meet with someone weekly or biweekly, you will accomplish habits. So it's really, it's ideal if, when you're helping people to meet at least once a week. The next tool that that has been really key is we must inspire, equip, and motivate people to keep going when they experience interruptions, difficulty, discomfort, and failure. So when I was working on this topic one Saturday, I was working on it for an hour, and that went really well. And then I struggled articulating my thoughts, and then I typed a couple sentences, and then I thought, and then finally I got a paragraph typed, and then I just felt really stuck. I just didn't know where to go. And this really frustrated me, and so I decided, well, I'll just do a load of laundry. That'll help break whatever is stuck in my brain. So one thing that that I've noticed in my years is that when I become frustrated, I become acutely aware of something else that's not working. So when I loaded the load of washer, the water in the washer, I noticed the cold water was not barely coming out, and it's like really making the water really hot. And so it was like that 2 weeks ago. I noticed it, and I didn't feel any. I just didn't even think of repairing it, but that day I had to repair it. And so fixing the problem really ended up, like, when you don't have a man in the house, it really becomes a big deal for some of these things. Well, maybe even if you have a man in the house, it could become big. I don't know. And so it really took time, and then that frustrated me. And I was like, oh, I just can't go back to this topic. I just had two frustrations in the last 3 hours. And then I was like, okay, my brain is depleted, so the thing I have to do is I need to somehow replenish this. And so I went on a brisk walk, and that replenished my willpower, and it unwired something that was whatever was wired, and that enabled me to keep going for another 2-3 hours. So, like, I tell a student, if you get stuck, just go take a drink of water, go to the bathroom, go take a walk, go do something. And that really does help. So, but the thing of it is when you are interrupted like that, there's something that often happens is people forget to go back to what they're doing. They forget that they're developing this or they're wanting to accomplish this. So what you want to think about is you want to develop the willpower, like replenish that, and that will grow, but then you have to go back to whatever you were doing so that you can keep going. So pushing through discomfort and difficulty helps people become disciplined. Like, it will be difficult. It will be uncomfortable. Like, it was difficult actually developing this topic. So one thing that I would like for you to take away from here is that think about a discipline that you would like to develop. And think about who can you be accountable to. Something that is new, something that you want to develop, and something that you really want to learn. Verity, how much time do I have? Okay, so then turn to the person right beside you and tell them what you want to do, and then and then tell them who you're going to be accountable to for that. So I'll give you a couple minutes to do that, 1 or 2 minutes, and then I'll have a couple of concluding thoughts. But I have to bring this to a close. So one thing I like to do is I just would like to reiterate something. Discipline is possible, but it's hard work. It's costly. And so one thing that we want to remember is God created people to be fruitful. So how are you going to be fruitful? How are you going to be effective kingdom builders? And I believe that developing a disciplined lifestyle really does honor God. He is honored when we are disciplined people. And I believe that we become productive when habits become established. So remember, it takes 21 days to establish a habit, takes 66 days for it to become routine. So think about small. Think about, how you're going to become a person that builds one habit after the next. And I believe that disciplined people will be more resilient. Think about it. You will be more resilient if you build healthy habits, and you'll be more motivated to become effective kingdom builders. You do not do it for the sake of yourself, but you do it because you love God, you love others, and you want to be effective in your community. Thank you very much. God bless you.
This recording and many others are available from Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. For more information, call 1-814-789-4769 or visit us online at www.christianlearning.org.